If you are able, please stand for the reading of the Gospel. This is the resurrection of Jesus. Now, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, and happy Easter. He is risen. He is risen indeed. My name is Erin Hawkins, and I'm so honored to be with you to share on this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you to Reverend Kim, and as he enjoys the last moments of his time away, for the very gracious invitation to be with you. To Reverend Devine and Chris Lovkin for helping me to get prepared for this day and just to be with you. It is wonderful to see your faces this morning. I bring you greetings from our bishop, Bishop Dottie Escobedo Frank, who I work with closely as the director of Connectional Ministries and as a member of her cabinet, as well as your district superintendent, Reverend Moon Young Lee. My work as the director of Connectional Ministries is to ensure that every single congregation in our conference has the resources and support that it needs to thrive in ministry as you live together as a community of faith and as you serve your neighbors. So this means offering funding when the church needs it, connections, training, anything that will help you to flourish and to be fruitful in ministry. My team is here to serve you. And so it is with this idea of service and surprise that I come to you this morning with a word from the Lord. Today is a day of joy and a reminder of Christ's final victory over sin and death, showing us that nothing is impossible for God. And when it seems that all hope is lost, God is still at work, bringing new life and new possibilities. Sometimes these possibilities, however, will surprise us, and that too is the message of Easter. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for this day. We woke up with some darkness and rain that has been gracing our land for the last 24 hours, and sometimes it can seem like the cold and the rain is an inconvenience, but we ask you to continue to shower us with your Holy Spirit, so that we may be your agents of good and love in the world. Replenish your good earth and continue to remind us of the good story, the good news that you are not dead, but you are risen. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A few weeks ago, I had the rare day off where I had nothing to do, no work engagements. I didn't have to go anywhere in the conference. I didn't have to be in any particular churches. And so I had the opportunity to spend the day on my couch with my remote control in my hand, and that's exactly what I did. And so I had popcorn in one hand and the remote in the other, and I decided that I would surf through a couple of channels on the television before I looked on the streaming services like Netflix and decided something there. But as I clicked through, I saw an old movie that I really loved, one of my favorites. It's called Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, starring Tom Hanks, came into theaters in 1994. It was a really popular movie, so popular that it won the Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year, and it was nominated for over a dozen Oscars. One of the things that made that movie stand out were all of the interesting and memorable quips and quotes that Forrest and his band of family and friends offered in many of the poignant scenes. Some of these sayings seem particularly apt for Easter Sunday. Maybe you remember a few, like, some people don't think miracles happen. Well, they do. Mama always said dying was a part of life. I sure wish it wasn't. And then, of course, the most popular of all, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. Life has a way of surprising us. Sometimes the surprises are unpleasant. You know, like those chocolates in the box where you bite into them and you frown up and you spit it out and you wanna throw them away. A diagnosis of cancer is an unpleasant surprise. Finding yourself suddenly out of a job is an unpleasant surprise. The ending of a friendship or a marriage is generally an unpleasant surprise, with at least one party remarking, "I never thought it would come to this." We cannot escape the unpleasant surprises of life, but Easter is a reminder to us that no matter what our disappointments of life have been, no matter how bad things have gotten or how long they've been that way, we serve a God who is with us through all of the unpleasantries of life. And not only that, can surprise us by turning these awful things into something good. We serve a God who surprises us by showing up at an unexpected time to do an unexpected miracle in an unexpected situation. The Easter story this morning is full of beautiful surprises because we as Christians are Easter people. We are the people of a risen Savior, experiencing the love of God that surprises us. So this is our story too. So maybe we should change that aphorism of Forrest Gump to this Easter to say, walking with Jesus is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get. Because in this morning's gospel lesson, the evangelist Mark brings us to witness three women going to the tomb early one morning to anoint Jesus's dead body. They expected to find it there, but instead they are surprised with an empty tomb and a message from an angel telling them that Jesus had risen from the dead. Can you imagine the shock and disbelief that they must have felt in that moment? Their whole world had been turned upside down in just an instant. Jesus had surprised them. Even though Jesus had prophesied his death for at least the last 36 hours, the disciples have been surprised again and again and traumatized by the events that led up to this moment. Jesus being arrested in the garden, an unpleasant surprise. Betrayed by one of the other disciples, unpleasant surprise. Watching Jesus being condemned by Pilate, although we all know he was innocent, unpleasant surprise. Watching the Savior being beaten, unpleasant surprise. Carrying up his cross to Calvary, unpleasant surprise. Seeing him hang there with a crown of thorns above his head, an unpleasant surprise. And finally, after watching him hang on the cross for 6 hours, he breathed his last breath and died. An unpleasant surprise. And so these women go to the tomb expecting to encounter the dead body of Jesus, only to get there and find that on this first Easter Sunday morning at sunrise, God is full of surprises and the Lord will do things that you never saw coming. There are three surprises in this scripture this morning that give us a glimpse into who God is and to what Jesus is doing for us even now. Surprise number one, the stone was rolled away. The Bible says that while the women were on their way to the tomb, they had one, well, maybe two questions on their mind. One was, who will roll the stone away? You may remember that when Jesus was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, they put a large stone in the front of the tomb, almost a ton, weighing a ton. And here are three women on their way to anoint the body of Jesus, realizing that they probably weren't strong enough to roll away a one-ton boulder. There are times in our lives where the problems we face feel like boulders. They're stones. The stones of our lives are bigger than what we can handle on our own. And when we think we can count on others to help, they're not there. I wonder, where were the other disciples? Where were the men who could help them roll this giant stone away? Why weren't they there to help? Sometimes the resources we have to bring to our problems simply aren't enough. We need help. We need more. And while the women wonder and worry about how they're going to handle their situation, much like what we do when we're in impossible situations, we wonder how we're going to survive this boulder, how we're going to overcome what seems like a problem with no solution. Jesus demonstrates to us on this Easter morning that the problem is already handled. For you see, when the women arrived to the tomb, they saw that the boulder was already rolled away. While you worry instead of waiting for God, while you embrace fear rather than activating your faith, while you host pity parties instead of prayer sessions, God is so good that God will handle the stones of your life on your behalf. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear them and answer their prayers and bring healing. Has there ever been a time where God surprised you and rolled a stone that you thought was immovable away? Where you thought things might get ugly, but God brought peace? Where you thought you'd be on the losing side only to come out a winner? When you thought the answer was no, but God turned it into a yes? The story of Easter tells us about a God who is able to roll the stones of our lives away. The second surprise, a mostly empty tomb. As the women were walking to the tomb, they were not only concerned about the stone, they were also wondering about how they would get past the soldiers. In Matthew's account of the resurrection story, we learn that the day after Jesus was crucified, the chief priests and Pharisees went to Pilate and asked Pilate to put guards on the outside of the tomb. They were afraid that someone would try to come and steal Jesus's body. The guards had one assignment: don't let anybody in. They were afraid the disciples were going to pull a fast one. So imagine, if you will, a guard of Roman soldiers armed to the hilt with one assignment: don't let anyone inside of the tomb. And here come three women trying to figure out a plan. What are we going to do? How are we going to convince the guards to let us in? How are we going to handle not only the stone, but the people who are standing in our way? How do we handle the people in our lives that stand in the way of the things that God is calling us to do? How do we deal with the adversaries that don't want us to get the job done? Sometimes it's not just the stones or the circumstances that pose an obstacle. It's people who stand in the way of reaching our intended goal. But today we are reminded of a God of surprises, because when they show up, the Bible says in Matthew's version that the soldiers had been restrained by the hand of God. They thought they may have had to go there to persuade the guards or to cajole the guards, maybe even to bribe them or fight them. But by the time they got there, the Lord had restrained them so that these adversaries couldn't do anything to keep the women from doing what they were there to do in service of Jesus. Maybe no one can relate to me this morning, but I know what it's like to have people who stand against me, ones that seem like their only assignment in life is to discourage, to challenge, to make you feel like the promises of God are not yours. You doubt yourself sometimes. The actions of those who stand against you can leave you feeling angry and sad, depressed and doubtful, but God is so good that God can restrain any force that seeks to make you feel less than, pushed to the sidelines, deterred from your destiny that God has placed in front of you. I know that I'm not the only one in this service today who can look back over their lives and see how God has made a way when there seemed like there was no way. The only thing we know is that there were supposed to be soldiers at the tomb, because they're mentioned in Matthew's gospel. But that was a whole chapter ago, and by the time we get to Mark, they aren't even mentioned anymore. Mark details the women, the name of the women with a design assignment to care for Jesus, but those anticipated soldiers, no mention of them at all. They don't matter in Mark's gospel. Their names aren't called. Those people that stood against the ones whose job was to hinder what God was doing, they play no role in this Easter story. Whatever has happened in the past that happened a chapter ago in Matthew stays there, because now we're in Mark, and the God of surprises is creating a new story for the women and for you and for me. Now I just need one person to say amen. God is creating a new story. And that's not all. When the women arrive, they find the stone rolled away and an empty tomb. Well, not quite. The Matthew passage says the soldiers were restrained by fear because an angel had shown up. The Lord will send angels who intercede into your situation, who handle the adversaries so that you can stay on your purpose. And you might be thinking that God surprised us with winged supernatural beings from heavenly places who come into the earthly realms to provide divine assistance. And I'm sure God does that, but that's not where I'm going this morning. I'm talking about the everyday angels, the people like you and me, friends, strangers. I'm talking about the friends who show up when you're feeling low and give you a word of encouragement. I'm talking about the angel, the stranger in front of you in the line of Starbucks who pays for their coffee and yours, reminding you that there are still kind and generous people in the world. They're angels too. I'm talking about the cherished pet that you have that cuddles with you and plays with you and brings joy to your heart. They are angels too. These are the angels that God sends as delightful surprises to our lives. Why? Because God loves us and wants the best for us. The women in Mark's gospel arrive to find the stone rolled away, no guards, Jesus is gone, but the angel is there waiting, which leads me to the final surprise. Surprise number 3, a risen Savior. The women arrive expecting to have an encounter with the now lifeless body of Jesus, only to discover, surprise, the Christ has risen from the dead, just as he said he would. And even though he had told the disciples this, they were nevertheless shocked. Where have you taken him? To which the angel replied, and this is the Aaron Hawkins version, no one took him anywhere. He just got up and left. I remember recently, I was walking, journeying with a very close friend of mine whose mother was in the hospital, lengthy stay. And despite all that they were doing to care for her, she just didn't seem like she was getting any better. And after some weeks, she began to feel restless and agitated. She just wanted to go home. So one day she declared, I want out, I'm done. But the doctors and the nurses would not release her. She insisted that she was leaving and would spend whatever days she had left comfortable in her own home. So one day she got out of the bed, they unhooked her from the machines, put her in a wheelchair, and my friend wheeled her mother out of the hospital. But not before they had them sign a whole lot of paperwork attesting to the fact that she was leaving AMA, against medical advice. The doctors and the medical staff didn't want her to go. They tried to threaten her. They tried to scare her. But she was ready, so she left. This morning, we are witnessing a Jesus by who all conventional notions, by professional assessments, should still be in the tomb. Death wanted him to stay in the tomb. The devil that tempted him in the desert did all he could to make sure that death had the final say. The grave that he was in even said, you are mine. I look now, there's a one-ton boulder that's got you in here. I've got you now. But this morning, Riverside First, the greatest surprise in human history is a Savior who, against all advice, opinions, expectations, triumphs over death, sin, and the grave to live again. And because of that, we can live too. The angel tells the women, he's not here, he is risen. But not only that, he's gone up the road to Galilee, where he told you to go, and he's going to meet you there. My friends, not only is Jesus alive, but he goes ahead of us to places where new life and new possibilities are needed. Why Galilee? Well, perhaps because that's where the disciples witness much of Jesus's ministry. In Galilee, Jesus feeds the hungry, heals the sick, embraced the outcast, preached a word of hope to the hopeless, welcomed the stranger and children, befriended the lonely. By going ahead to Galilee, Christ demonstrates that there is no place too dark, no injustice too great, no need too dire, that Jesus isn't already there, transforming it with his peace, love, and justice. And the angel told the women that Jesus expects them and us to meet him there in the places where there are hungry people and sick people and lonely people and hopeless people and outcast people. In the places where there are people who need the love and healing care of Jesus that flows through us. When Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're gonna get. Not only was he offering a profound insight into the unpredictability of our lives, we can also see the unexpected and transformative nature of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. His crucifixion on the cross was a moment of suffering and sacrifice. Yet his resurrection on the third day brought a new beginning filled with hope, redemption, and eternal life. So I just stopped by on this Easter morning to say to you that the greatest surprise in human history, the resurrection of Jesus, demonstrates the power of God to bring life out of death, light out of darkness, and hope out of despair. It symbolizes a profound transformation, turning a moment of sorrow and loss into a victory. And just when you least expect it, when you think that all is lost, when the story has been told and the generously proportioned lady has sung, Jesus will show up in your circumstance, rolling your stone away, restraining your adversaries, sending angels to care for you, and calling you out to meet him in the places where his love, peace, and justice are most needed. Happy Easter, and let every day be a day where we look forward to God's love surprising us yet again. Amen.